Agudavav Shavuot Tov, this is Rabbi Eitan Toker, Brooklyn, New York. There is a halacha that at the end of a meal, before an individual benches, there's a practice of mayim achronim. And the Gemara says, and it's paskened in Shulchan Aruch, mayim achronim chova, that mayim achronim is indeed an obligation. Now, what is the source of this obligation of mayim achronim? So, interestingly enough, there seems to be two different approaches to mayim achronim. The Gemara in Chulin says that mayim achronim is a chova, is an obligation, because of what we call melach sdomis, the sodomite salt. And this melach sdomis gets on a person's hands while they're eating, and it could potentially blind the person. So in order to make sure that the person is protected, so there is a rule that you have to wash your hands, mayim achronim. However, the Gemara in Brachos gives a different approach. The Gemara in Brachos says that mayim achronim, the obligation of mayim achronim, derives from a pasuk in Vayikra. Pasuk says, a couple of psukim jointly together say, v'hiskadishtam v'hisam kedoshim, namely, that a person is supposed to sanctify themselves. You shall be holy. So the question on one level is, which is it? And the other level is, why both? In other words, what do we have a Gemara in Chulin? We have a Gemara in Brachos. Is it because of the sodomite salt, or is it because of the idea of sanctification? Indeed, there is a discussion about whether one is required to do mayim achronim in our day and age. And the Mishnah Berurah writes the following. It says, afilu kishe'en yadav mizohamos, even if a person's hands are not filthy, gam kein chiyavu chazal benitilas mayim achronim. Chazal, nevertheless, still required it, mayim achronim, because of melach sdomis. So we have themes that both of these reasons are in place. D'b'chol se'uda halo nimtza melach, because in every meal, no doubt there is some salt present. And continues the Mishnah Berurah, yesh lachush shama ma'orav b'hen ma'at b'melach sdomis, and there's a concern that whatever salt is at the table is going to have some melach sdomis in there, and you're going to blind yourself, God forbid. And finally, the Mishnah Berurah says, Ha'idna ein matzui melach stomis. Today, we don't have melach stomis, and therefore there's no obligation, ein chova kol kach kama mayim rishonim. But nevertheless, it is a common practice to do mayim achronim. And perhaps there is a deeper understanding of what mayim achronim and melach sdomis is all about. And I think that I'd like to share with you an idea from Rav Kook on mayim achronim as related in his Ein Ayah. So Rav Kook says, let's understand what it means that we're concerned about melach sdomis. And I think we can connect both of the ideas here, namely making oneself sanctified, and the concern of blinding ourselves with the sodomite salt. So Rav Kook offers the following, I think, very profound idea. He says, what does Sodom represent? Well, if we want to answer that question of what Sodom represents, we don't have to look that much further than our Parsha. So clearly our Parsha is assuming that the people of Sodom are pretty bad, and they did some pretty bad stuff in the Parsha. But in Sefer Yechezkel, the Navi tells us, in Perek Tez Zayin, Pasuk 49, the Navi says the following. You know why Sodom was destroyed? Sodom was destroyed because Avon Sodom Gaon Sibas Lechem Vishalvas Hashgit Viyad Ani Ve'Evion Lo Hechzika. To sum that up, the reason that Sodom was destroyed, says the Navi Yechezkel, is because of pride, of an abundance of material wealth, and a carelessness regarding the poor people, and a callousness towards the poor and the needy. This is the Avera of Sodom. This is the Mida. This is the characteristic of Sodom. So says the Navi. If this is in fact the case, then Rav Kook says we can understand why there is a concern about a person having melach sdomis on their hands. Melach sdomis isn't just about having filthy hands and we want to sanctify ourselves, but it's about a way of life and a way of looking at life and interacting with people. And generally, the Torah wants us to be sensitive to the needs, the cares, the concerns, the frailties, the weaknesses of other people, and to be able to uplift them and empower them and give them help and succor and support. Now, that requires a person looking beyond themselves and outside of themselves, a outward-looking approach to life. Now, when a person is eating, a person eats that is definitionally self-centered. It is a selfish activity. It's not bad selfish, but it is indeed selfish. And even in the best of circumstances, when a person is engaged in the process of eating, they are really, in that moment, fully focused on nourishing, on filling, on enjoying, and taking care of the self. And that creates a certain insensitivity, a certain callous disregard for others, even in the best of circumstances. This is the Midah of Stom, which can creep in to our existence, to creep in to our consciousness. And so, says Rav Kook, the idea of Mayim Achronim is after we have engaged in this very selfish behavior, as justified as it may be, we have to wash our hands to remove this Melach Stomus, this sodomite salt, this terrible Midah, which even on a very minimal level has been able to seep into our consciousness. We want to be people of sensitivity, not of callous disregard and self-centered selfishness. And therefore, when the meal comes to an end, yes, we have to sanctify ourselves. We have to clean our hands so we can say a bracha nicely. But even perhaps more powerfully is to ensure that our understanding of kedusha, of sanctification, means or incorporates always having the ability to be concerned for the other. And thus, we take the water and we remove the sodomite salt from our fingers. There's an interesting halacha that when it comes to Mayim Achronim, really what we're most concerned is with, you know, cleaning our fingers rather than the whole hand, like Mayim Rishonim. And I think that this furthers this very idea. It's the fingers, in other words, which are the connecting point between us and another human being. We have to clean those fingers, as it were, to remove the approach of Sodom, which is about selfishness and self-aggrandizement, and refresh ourselves, says Rav Kook, so we are ready to engage once again in true Kedusha, in a true Midah of Avodas Hashem. And this idea is reflected, I think, in a Medrash on the Parsha. So on the one hand, we have the idea of Melach Stomus, a halacha, right? Of course, when Lot's wife turned around, she turned into a pillar of salt. What is the metaphor here, the analogy of Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt? Of course, because she reflects, as the Midrashim point out, the idea of this callous disregard for the needs and sensitivities for others. And so she turns around and she sees the people dying under the fiery hail. How much more callous can one be to the frailties of other human beings? And so she personifies Melach Stomus. And indeed, that's what she lives on for eternity. But the Midrash says, Vayisma Hama, that Lot was tarrying before he left Stom. And the Midrash comments, Timahon achar timahon. That's a weird word, vayismahama. So this word, vayismahma, says the Midrash, is timahon achar timahon. That Lot delayed, he tarried, as a consequence of being in this great state of confusion, in a state of bewilderment, befuddlement. And what was his reaction? Says the Midrash, it's unbelievable. Famous Midrash, but if you think about it, it's like almost incomprehensible. Midrash says that Lot looked around and he said, wow, all this gold and silver and precious gems and everything, it's all going to be destroyed. It's all going to go to waste. And so therefore, he dilly-dallied. He tarried before he left, trying to figure out what he was going to save and how he was going to save it, how he was going to bring out the wealth of Sodom that he garnered in Sodom to make sure that it would live on afterwards. And this is like almost incomprehensible. The place is burning all around him. It's going up in flames. It's like being on the Titanic and worrying about how much money you have in your pocket. This is what Lot, and he's running around. He's running around looking for gemstones. This is the idea of Vayismahama. And this is exactly what Lot personifies. This is how Melach Stomus blinds a person. Melach Stomis, what are we concerned about? That the Melach Stom is going to get in your eyes and blind you. Maybe it means physically as well, but it's certainly, Al Rav Kook, on a spiritual level, on a deep spiritual level, we are concerned that our eyes will be blinded by the methodology and practice and culture of Stom. This, how Lot conducted himself on the way out, he was only concerned about material wealth, and that is self-destructive. That is self-destructive. And that is what we are concerned about getting into our eyes. That we should, God forbid, not be in a situation where we view life, where we see the world around us through the prism of the culture of stone, through sodomite salt. So this is the idea of Lot's wife, which she personified. And this is how Lot conducted his own self on the way out. The message, I think, is very clear for all of us, that the goal of an Eved Hashem is not only to be able to be aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, but to take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance and divine consciousness and employ it into our day-to-day lives. And that means having an outward focus on others. And if we mechazik ourselves in Mayim Achronim, not just in the physical Mayim Achronim, but in the spiritual Mayim Achronim, we will be able to wash away the filth in our lives that might color and blind us to the needs and the sensitivities of others. And in doing so, by washing this away, we will certainly create a more holy existence. Agudbach, Shavua Tov to all.